Okay, we're on page 736, Perek Gimel. Okay, last time we learned all about the Golem and all that stuff. Okay, Ve'elu told us now that he counted all the Jews were counted, so now he's going to count the Levium. Or first he's really counting the Koyanim, and then he's going to count the Levium. So it says, Ve'elu told us Aaron and Moshe, these are the offspring of... one thing which was interesting, I just saw the other day. Remember we learned that the Golem traveled, then the Mishkan went, and then the other two camps went. There's one opinion that says that Yehuda went first, not Reuven, just one Degel went first, then the boards of the Mishkan went, then Reuven went, and then they carried the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah and all that. That went after two camps. But after one camp, the boards and everything else went already. The covers and the Mishkan and the boards. It's just that some people say, it's like Ibn Ezra and the other people say, that first, some people say, like Rashi says, two camps went, then the Mishkan went, and then the other two camps went. But the whole Mishkan went together. Some opinions, like Ibn Ezra says, one camp went, then the boards of the Mishkan went, then the second camp went, then the Aron and the Kalim of the vessels of the Mishkan, and then the other two camps went. But anyway, Ve'elu told us Aaron and Moshe, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe. B'yem Dibra Hashem es Moshe b'Har Sinai, today Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Now here it says Aaron and Moshe, first Aaron and Moshe, because number one we're talking about counting, Aaron was older. So Aaron comes first. Secondly, Aaron was the Kohanim. So Kohanim are going to be counted before the Levium because they were holier. And another thing Rashi says, Rashi asks the question, here it says, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe, and then the next Tukim, it doesn't even mention Moshe's children, only Aaron's children. So Rashi says, and a lot of Mefoshim answer this, that when you teach somebody Torah, it's like you gave birth to them. And in fact, they say an interesting thing. That's why the Pasuk says, "B'yayim dibur Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai." Why does it have to say, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe when Hashem spoke to them on Har Sinai? These are the children of Aaron and Moshe, period. Why is he saying the day Hashem spoke to them on Har Sinai? Because Har Sinai means Moshe teaching Torah. So therefore, even though he's only mentioning Aaron's children, but the Torah is telling us that Moshe is considered as if he spiritually gave birth to them because he was the one that taught him Torah. But another thing, the Mefarshim say, why it says Moshe, because, we mentioned this last week also, because Aaron's two children died. Really, all four children were supposed to die. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and therefore, the Gemara says, Tefillah does 50%. Tefillah is a machzeh. So because it does 50%, so two of Aaron's children stayed alive. Why did Aaron's two children stay alive? Because of Moshe. So it's like he physically gave birth to them. Because they were physically alive because of his prayer and his davening. Okay, so he says like this. The Elish Meis B'nei Aaron, these are the names of Aaron's children. Abuchar, the oldest one, was Nadav and Avihu. And Elazar v'Isamar. Okay, so Aaron had four children. Elish Meis B'nei Aaron, Akein HaMemshuchim. These are the name of Aaron's children, the anointed ones. Ashemile Yodam, that he inaugurated them, Lechayin to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Lechayin doesn't only mean to be a Kohen, but Lechayin actually means to serve. Okay? What? Lechayin. That's what I'm saying. Lechayin here means to serve. It doesn't mean Kohen, like Yisrael was a Kohen, it means he served. So the word Kohen is called Kohen, but really the word Kohen means one to serve, because the Kohenim serves, so they were called Kohen. But Kohen actually, that's like this word, L'chaim, that if you look at Unklus, L'shamosha, to be a shamish, to serve. That's what a Kohen means. But Vayamas Nadav and Avil Lifnei Hashem. Okay? That Nadav and Avil died before Hashem, and we'll explain what that means. Bakriva Meizara, when they brought a foreign fire, Lifnei Hashem b'midbar sin, like we learned at great length in Parsha Shmini when we discussed the sin of Nadav and Avihu. Ubanim lahayu lohem, they had no sons. Therefore, Vayechayin Elazar v'Isamar, therefore, Elazar and Isamar served, al pnei Aaron Avihim, Rashi says, al pnei means when Aaron was still alive. In other words, they served already in Aaron's lifetime. One kain wasn't enough, obviously, there's a lot of work to do. So Aaron started off with four kids, but two died right away. So basically, Elazar and Isamar, the ones that were left, they were the ones that served Al-Pnei, the lifetime of Aaron and Kain. The commentators ask, they bring down the Daskim Baltezmi, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, what does it mean, Lefnei Hashem, they died? What's the expression, they died before God? So he says that the Tzaddikim, when they died, like he says, B'nayim shal tzaddikim, he says, when by Hashem, it's difficult when children of tzaddikim died, especially when they die in the father's lifetime. And that's what he says, lifnei Hashem, as if to say, Hashem felt the pain, because when tzaddikim die, while their parents are still alive, it's a very big suffering, so to speak, for Hashem. The question is, you know, we don't bite. The question is, so Hashem didn't have to do it. Hashem could have done it in a different way. But the answer is because we learned that Nadav and Avihu did, they had the longing without the return, and therefore we learned that was their sin. But the Pasuk is also emphasizing, Ubanim lahayu lahem, they didn't have any children. Because if they would have children, that would have taken over the father's place.
For Pinchas, they're not supposed to do that.
After Pinchas, they go... This time?
No. Pinchas in this time, Chazal say like this, Pinchas was, to use clear-cut English language, he was a nobody now. In other words, like this. And that's why he became a Kohen later, when he killed the guy Zimri in the Shiksa. What happens like this? When Moshe Rabbeinu anointed Aaron, he anointed the four children to be Kohanim. Once they were anointed, anybody born after that would automatically be a Kohen. Okay.
From them or after that?
No. Anybody who was born from them after they were anointed would automatically be Kohanim.
Like
okay.
Kingship,
no.
Like
yeah. But here we're talking about the Kohen. The king is a little bit different. Okay. So anybody that was born after the anointment would be Kohenim. Pinchas was already born. Pinchas was already alive before. So when Moshe Rabbeinu anointed Aaron and his four kids, Pinchas wasn't anointed, and he was already born. So he was not a Kohen. He was not a commoner, therefore he's not counted in the numbers of the Kohanim.
And he's a regular brother.
He is a regular Levi like everybody else. When Pinchas did what he did, that's what Hashem said, therefore I'm giving him to be a Kohen.
But he's a regular brother for Elazar, Isamar,
no, he's Elazar's son.
He's
Aaron's grandson.
Okay.
Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. Okay? Yeah. But he wasn't anointed, and he was the only Kohen, I mean, the only son that was alive at the time when they were anointed.
Only son of the four.
Right.
That's the only grandchild.
At this time. Now, Nadav and Avihu died, they didn't have any kids. One opinion says the reason they died because they didn't get married, because they didn't want to get married. Okay? But another opinion says, but everybody says Pinchas was alive. Pinchas did not become a Kohen. But he was the only grandson alive at this time, correct? Or at least the only grandson the Torah mentions. And after he killed that person, so then, and then he became a Kohen. But at this point, Pinchas was a regular Levi, like everybody else. His father was a Kohen. It's an interesting story. You know, my father was a Kohen, my grandfather, I also want to be a Kohen. But in this case, Pinchas couldn't say it. Pinchas said, my father was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen, but I'm not. Until that story happened.
In Shoftim, there is Chofni of Pinchas, children of Eli.
Yeah, but that's Chofni of Pinchas, Eli's children, much, much later.
Yes, but I think that Pinchas is a grandson or a great-grandson of Pinchas we are talking about now.
It's very possible. Yeah, but right. Eli was a Kohen Gadol. Right. So was that Pinchas named after that Pinchas? I don't know, maybe. Probably. Okay. Vayomer Nadav Avihu lifnei Hashem, okay. Pasuk Kei. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lema, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, okay, Hakei v'smati Levi, bring the tribe of Mati Levi closer. V'amadet to Esai, and stand him, a thing singular, because he says about the tribe. So he's talking the tribe as a whole in singular. V'amadet to Esai lefnei Aaron HaKohen, put him before Aaron HaKohen. V'sharsa Esai, and they should serve him. Okay? Now, why did he have to bring him? V'sharsa Esai, and the pasuk continues, Rashi says, what the role of the Levium were. Not only that, but the Levium did a lot of jobs. They were singers, and they watched they played instruments. There were different Levium, by the way. Some sang, some played instruments, some watched the Beis HaMikdash, some guarded, some did different things. You know, there were different roles. And by the way, they were not allowed to interchange. If you were a singer, you were a singer. If you were a player, a player. If you watched the gates, you watched the gates. But basically, they would help the Kohanim, not in the actual service of Karbanos. That's why the Torah is going to emphasize now what their job was. It wasn't, you know, Kohen needed help with the Karban, the Levi went. He didn't go. Only Kohanim helped with Karbanos. But he says, what is the job? B'shamros mishmarte. They should watch the watching. In other words, safeguard the charge, like it says. B'es mishmeres kol ha'edon, the charge of the entire community. Lefnei oil maid, before the oil maid, lavedus avedus amishkan, to serve and to serve in the aveda of the mishkan.
What's the job? The cleaning also.
The levium clean. The kohenim also clean. By the way, there was a whole. You know, if you think about it, the mishkan had a lot of blood in it. So there is actually an irrigation cleaning system set up in the Beis HaMikdash. There were grooves in the ground. It was like a gutter system. Okay? There were holes down the floor of the Mishkan. Okay? And all the blood would go into these gutters. Well, there's not in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was actually, and it went out into, what was it called? The Mishnah says the name of it.
Nachal Kidron.
It went into Kidron. It was actually an irrigation pipe that they would hose down the Beis HaMikdash. Had a stone floor. Not the Mishkan. The Mishkan was earth. The Beis HaMikdash had a stone floor. They would hose it down. All the blood would go mixed with the water into this canal. It would go out of the Beis HaMikdash to a place called Nachan Kidmain. And that was an extremely fertile, growing place, because blood has a lot of nutrients in it. So blood made the things grow. Those are the things that grew in Nachal Kidron was actually from the blood of the Karbanos that went into the area, made it extremely, extremely fertile. The Gemara says the best fruits came from that area, wherever it was. Yeah. But in the Mishkan, the Levim cleaned up, the Kohanim cleaned up. I remember the Rebbe once spoke a Sikha to the women, because, you know, women always complain about house cleaning and Pesach and all that stuff. So the Rebbe said, you know, it depends how you look at things, the perspective of things. The Rebbe said to the, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, do you imagine if somebody called in a woman and say, I would like to honor you with cleaning the Beis HaMikdash. They would jump for joy. No, the schus. The merit of cleaning, the not the Kodesh HaKadosh, but the Beis HaMikdash. People would jump for joy. The Rebbe said, every house is a Mikdash Ma'at. Every home is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So women, it depends how you look at things. You know, if you look at things as a pleasure or a burden, but if you look at this mamish cleaning the Beis HaMikdash,
then you go get
the
wife.
Yeah, yes, you can go get your wife.
Last week.
Okay. V'nasata salvim la'aron olvanov, you should give the levim to Aaron and his children. Nesunim nesun mehem aloi, they are completely given over to Aaron HaKohen me'ez b'nei Yisrael. And again, what is this nesunim nesunim? It says to help. And me'ez b'nei Yisrael, Rashi says again, also means that they were designated from the rest of the Jewish people. They were designated from the rest of the Jewish people to do the job of whatever it was. The Levim carried the boards of the Mishkan, they put up the Mishkan, they took it down, you know, all the various, whatever the jobs were. Later on, the Torah is going to say exactly which, you know, what the Levim did. Which family of the Levim did what in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, as Aaron and Bon of Tifkeit, and you should appoint Aaron and his children, the Shamanas Kohanas, and they should watch the Kohuna, meaning, like Rashi says, the receiving of the blood, squirting the blood, burning the fire, you know, all the jobs of Kohanim. Because Vazara Kodiv Yumas. In other words, part of the responsibility of the Kohanim was to make sure that nobody who wasn't a Kohen did what was they were allowed to do. So part of their job was to make sure that only Kohanim did it, and Yisrael or a Levi was not allowed to do their job. But there's certain jobs that only Kohanim were allowed to do, certain, like we learned before, shechting the korban, the shechita was allowed to be done through a shechita kshera bizar. It didn't have to be a Kohen doing this shechting of the korban. But once he shechted the korban, receiving the blood, squirting the blood, all that had to be done through a Kohen. Also only Kohanim.
The pancakes is
only the Kohanim. Yeah, that's what the pasuk clearly says. Shechti did not need to be a Kohen.
So they would shecht it and give the blood to the Kohen?
Well, a Kohen was allowed to shecht, but I'm saying it didn't have to be a Kohen.
There would be a lot of...
Because we learned in Vayikra, the pasuk says, you should shecht the carbon. Doesn't say a Kohen shechts. It says, you should shecht the carbon, and the Kohen should receive the blood and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, the Torah clearly says, you should shecht it, and then it says the Kohen should receive the blood, which means the first process, the Shechita, did not need to be done through a Kohen. Anybody could do it. As long as you know how to shecht, I mean, obviously.
What is the reason to sprinkle the blood? What is the inside?
The significance of it?
Yeah.
Taking the life, blood is the life.
Kedamu
ha-nefesh. Taking the blood of the animal soul in us, nefesh ha-bahamis, and squirting it on God's mizbeach, meaning that we're giving our life
to you
for the service of Hashem. No, but that's the squirting of that had to be done through a Kohen. Yeah, the way to do things. No, the cleaning of the blood could have been done by anybody. No, that wasn't an avodah. See, let me tell you something. In the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, there are certain practical things, and then there are certain things that are part of the service. The avodah, which was the service, that had to be done through a kohenim. Cleaning the floors, or whatever they did, that wasn't serving, there wasn't the mitzvah of serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? But there were guys that did a lot of work, if you think about it. They had to make the clothing for the Kohanim to wear. They needed tailors. There were a lot of jobs, not necessarily, that wasn't part of the Aveda. That wasn't part of the actual mitzvah work in the Beis HaMikdash. That was able to be done by anybody. Cleaning the floors wasn't an Aveda. Taking the ashes of the Mizbeach to take out, that had to be done only through a Kohen. So, but that the Torah says clearly. You know, certain things the Torah says clearly, that's a mitzvah. The other things, obviously the Torah doesn't say how the guy lit candles in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, right? They needed light. So they lit candles, obviously. The Torah doesn't talk about it. Whoever needed to light the candles, they lit the candles. They're not going to say everything. Only the Aveda, but the Kohenim were obligated to make sure that a non-Kohen was not working. And not only that, even not all the Kohenim were able to work. It says there were different size courts in the Jewish system, right? There's a court of 3, and there's a court of 11, there's a court of 23, okay? The Supreme Court of the Bnei Yisrael of 71, that was inside the Beis HaMikdash, in Lishchas HaRgozes it was called, their primary job was to check which Kohanim were kosher to work and which Kohanim were not kosher to work. Number one, family, kosher, you know. Secondly, there's a list of 50-something blemishes, a mum, that I'm going to enumerate all of them from the Gemara, that disqualifies a Kohen from working in the Beis HaMikdash. Part of the main, it says in the Gemara, part of the main function of that big bezdin inside the Beis HaMikdash was to go through which Kohenim were allowed to work, which Kohenim were not allowed to work. If a Kohen had a mum, a blemish, which, I'll give you an example, a left-handed Kohen was not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Believe it or not, nothing personal to lefties, but left-handed Kohenim were not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. A broken disc, whatever, the blemishes, there was a bunch of blemishes that disqualified, huh? Whatever, you know, disqualified a Kohen from working in the Beis HaMikdash.
From working in the Beis HaMikdash?
No. From working on the Mizbeach. Okay. What did those other Kohenim do? They had a unique job. The wood that they used to burn on the Mizbeach was not allowed to have any worms in it. If it had worms, no good. So there were Kohenim that sat a whole day. They couldn't work on the Mizbeach. They couldn't work on the... They actually checked through all the wood to make sure which wood was kosher, which wood was not kosher. That's why two above, they stopped cutting wood, because then the sun weakened and the wood wasn't dry out. If the wood didn't dry out, then it would have worms in it. So they stopped chopping wood. The Gemara says they broke the axe in that day. That's an expression of the Mishnah. They broke the axe because... Tavar Magal, because they stopped cutting wood for the Mishkan, for the Beis HaMikdash, because after Tu B'Av, the summer days start getting weaker, so the sun's not that hot, so the wood doesn't dry out completely, so there's still worms in it. But that was their job, but everybody had a job, you know. But nobody was allowed to do somebody else's job either. And the Kohenim had an obligation to do it to the extent, Vazara Kodiv Yumos, if somebody else that wasn't allowed to go went, they actually died. And Ebenezer says, why does it say Nesunim, Nesunim, before in the Pasuk? In Pasuk Tes, because Ebenezer says that it lasted forever. This job, responsibilities were forever. Meaning, it's not part-time Leviya for 20 years and that's it. Always the Leviim are going to work in the Beis HaMikdash. And that, and that also, Nesunim is, whenever, B'chlal, there's a rule in Torah, whenever the Torah doubles an expression, it means to emphasize it. Right. Or, as the Gemara says, sometimes the Torah says a double expression that even 100 times. Like it's, Rechiach Terechiach, Admanish Yishud Admanish, your friend. Why is it a double expression? Even 100 times. Hashiv Teshivim, return a lost article, the Torah doubles the expression, that even if it goes back again and again and again, you always have to return it. But whenever the Torah doubles an expression, it's an emphasizing. So therefore, Nesunim, number one, it means it's permanent. Or the Sifurna writes that it means that they are bottle, that Aaron is always, the Kohenim are always their superiors. Only always that they got given, completely given over to the Kohen. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'dav Hashem Amei Shalemir. V'ani, Hashem says, I, L'kach Tis HaLeviim, took the Leviim, Miteich B'nei Yisof, amongst the Jews, Tachas kol b'chor pet erachem b'mnei Yisrael, instead of the firstborn b'chorim. Another Torah is saying over here like this. And here it works really in double stages. When Hashem killed the firstborn Egyptians, at that time, the Jewish b'chorim became obligated to serve Hashem. Hashem said, I killed the firstborn Egyptians, so therefore all the firstborn Jews are supposed to work for me. Hashem knew that they're going to sin in the Egel, the firstborn, and therefore they're going to be replaced by the Levium. So this is what the commentary says over here. Hashem says, I'm taking the Levium instead of the Bukhar. Really, the Bukhar was supposed to do it, because they replaced the Bukhar of Egypt that were killed. But now that Hashem foresaw that they're going to sin, so therefore, you know, Hashem replaced them. And this is already after the Egel. I mean, this is Bashir Bamidbar already. It's much after the Egel. So Hashem says, they're taking over instead of the firstborn, because the firstborn sinned in the Egel.
The question.
What?
Hashem is telling the Jewish people that the Jewish nation is Hashem's Bechor. Right? I mean,
the Sipurna says, what does it mean when it says, Kili kol bechor? What does it mean Hashem says they're mine? They're not his anymore. They don't work for him. It means they're mine, that you still have to do pinyin aben, that you still have to redeem him.
But nevertheless, in Parshas Bo, Hashem, or before Hashem, tells Paro through Moshe that you, the Jewish nation, are my Bechor. The question is, we were not the first children of Hashem, or were we? I mean, you had the different nations, there was a Canaanite or whatever, all kind of different nations.
Right.
And we became a nation after that. So how does Hashem say that we are his Bechor, we are his firstborn? Some other nations were before. You understand the question, or...
Why could the Jews be B'ri B'chor Yisrael?
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Because over there, Hashem not giving the status of the physical firstborn, he's giving the spiritual status of a B'chor. Yeah. Yosef wasn't the firstborn either. I mean, he was from Rachel, but not Yaakov. But he gave him the status of B'chor, that he had two tribes instead of one. Right? In certain respects, Ephraim had the B'chor status over Menashe, to a certain extent. So Hashem says the Jews, everybody's my, even though Hashem says you are my kids, then says, everybody's my kids, you're the first, B'ni B'chor Yisrael. But this is what he says. Because really all firstborn belong to me. So Hashem says like this. The Levium are replacing the firstborn, because the firstborn are really mine. From the day I smote the firstborn Egyptians, I sanctified every firstborn in Yisrael, because in Greenland, even by an animal, firstborn animal has to go be brought as a carbon. Right, the b'chor is a carbon. Li yiyu ani Hashem. They're mine, I am Hashem. Okay? Now, so the Levium, like Rashi says, this is what it means. The firstborns are mine.
What do you mean is mine?
Service.
No,
mine. What it means is two things. Hashem said, by killing the firstborn Egyptians,
yeah,
for that, they're now paid to serve me.
Because
they killed the firstborn Egyptians and not the firstborn Jews. So therefore Hashem says they're mine. Yeah. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, of Farshim say, what does it mean, Li Yu? Like we said, they're mine, you have to redeem them. You have a firstborn baby, you have to do a pinyin aben. If it's a firstborn male, you know, natural birth from the womb, like it says, Pater Rechem.
At what time Hashem told us to pay a ben? At what time? At what time of the
period?
Yeah. At what time they say that?
Right after you meet your, he saw the golden calf, yeah, all that stuff?
No, in Egypt Hashem said the firstborn are mine.
You have to buy it.
Yeah, in Parshas Bay, before the Jews left Egypt, Hashem said it to them. Kaddish li ko bechor.
After they save him, they say,
yeah, yeah.
You have to buy it from Kohen.
Yeah. So in that respect, even today, the Kohen, the firstborn, still belong to Hashem. But as far as working in the Beis HaMikdash, and in fact, this is what it says, li yu ani Hashem. So the opponent says, what does it mean, ani Hashem? What do you mean, ani Hashem? It's like the pasuk says, ani Hashem leishanisi. I don't change. Hashem says, I don't change. It's a remarkable concept, by the way. Hashem says, you know why the Bukhar is, no, well, you know why the Levim took over the Bukhar? Not because I changed, because they sinned. Hashem said, Levim, you want to stay in your job? It's up to you, not up to me. I don't change. When you sin, you suffer. You understand? It's not that I'm changing my mind. One day Bukhar, one day Levi, one day this. Hashem says, I do not change. Okay? The replacement that he says at the bottom, the firstborn of Levi was because of their sin, because the Bukhar sinned. The same thing it says, the Levim, you want them to do what they need to do? They need to behave.
Did all the Bukharim sin?
Yeah. Officially, everybody sinned. I mean, were there certain individuals? But the uniqueness of Levi was nobody in the tribe of Levi sinned.
Oh, and Aaron was before?
No, Miriam was older. Miriam was older. Miriam was 2 years older than Aaron. And Aaron was 3 years older than Moshe.
Was Aaron Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan in the Midbar?
Yeah.
So once a year he would go to Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur?
He did. He did for 40 years.
Aaron did for 40
years? Yeah. The 40 years in the Mishkan. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. In the 40th year he died. And Rosh Chodesh Av. So the next Yom Kippur, 2 months later, then Elazar went in. Elazar became the Kohen Gadol after Aaron died. What?
The Behor could refer to a woman?
Sorry.
I thought Behor was always a man.
Yeah. Who? What did women get here?
You said Miriam was...
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Miriam was the oldest. No, he asked me, was Aaron a Behor? I said no, because Miriam was... I meant older, but you're right. Yeah. Yeah. A Behor is only if you're male, firstborn.
Firstborn male. Yeah. Not right. Just a firstborn male, but the firstborn and a male.
Correct. Okay. And as far as Pinyin HaBen goes, we deem that there has to be a natural birth. In other words, as far as a Bukhar, let's say, well, today it's only practical fasting and Yom Kippur, fasting and before Pesach, you know, the fast of the firstborn, or getting double, a cesarean Bukhar also gets double. He's still a Bukhar. Okay? It's just by Pinyin HaBen, the Torah says Peter Rechem, firstborn of the womb. And therefore it's an interesting din. What happens if a woman first gives birth to cesarean, a boy, and then the second child is a boy born naturally? Which happens. I mean, you want a cesarean, not always a cesarean, right? So, if the first one's cesarean, and the second one is born naturally, both don't have a Pinyin HaBen. This one, because he's not born from the womb. And this one, because he's not firstborn. He's the first of the womb, but he's not the firstborn of that mother. So he's not the Bchor. If a man has three wives, and each one gives a birth to firstborn, he has three firstborn sons that need Pinyin HaBen. Because that's dependent on the mother, not on the father. If the same woman, though, had a cesarean, and then natural birth, both, it says in Hal Shulchan Aruch, don't need Pinyin HaBen. This one because he's not Peter Echem, and this one because he's not a firstborn.
If the wife is divorced, and men are also divorced, and then they bring, they marry together, two
Yeah, but if a woman never had a baby before, she had children.
She has children. Because the new husband, they get new.
Yeah, but she had already kids. It's up to her. She already had a child.
You told me it depends on the father.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't depend on the father.
If both divorce, and they have children.
Right.
Both they have girls. Okay? And they marry and they bring boys. These boys.
I'll give you a different example. No, but I'll tell you something. No, one second. What happened? One second. What happens if a man was never married? Okay? And he marries a woman that was widowed or divorced who has a baby.
Yes?
Now they get married and they have a kid. A boy. Does that boy need opinion of Ben? No, because it's not the firstborn from the mother. Is this kid a firstborn to get double of the father's inheritance? Yes. He's a b'chor for the father. But he's not a firstborn for redemption because that's dependent on the mother. The firstborn of the mother.
If the reverse
one. Depends on what stage.
If the reverse one.
No, if a woman, God forbid, had a miscarriage, depending on how far along the miscarriage was, is that considered not a firstborn or not? Less than 40 days, for sure not. Officially in halacha, it says if there's a formation of limbs.
First one is a boy.
Which is very questionable what that means.
What about Rabbi, if it's twin boys and both are naturally born? There's two of them.
First one?
The first one comes out.
First come, first serve.
Like he is.
It's Yaakov and Esav, no?
That's right.
Esav came first.
First come, first serve.
First come, first serve.
First come, first serve.
Yeah, you saw about that.
Did you sell it?
By the way, even by Yehud and Tamar, one kid stuck out the hand, right? And then the other kid was born first. But this one had the hand out first. So he was the b'chor. What?
Did Levim have the right to not to serve or not to
serve? No. Yeah. Then there would be a negative commandment.
They could refuse it, right?
No, they can't. But if...
On the individual.
No, they can't. If they don't work and they're able to work, they transgress the mitzvah and the Torah.
Next order.
But is it something that Beit Din or...
They usually wanted to work. I mean, who wouldn't want to work in the Beis HaMikdash? What?
I'm just asking a question. He wanted to sell his firstborn
home. Right.
So he says in the Torah.
It's before Matan Torah. A Kohen who says, I don't want to be a Kohen because I want to make money doing funerals. There are a lot of rabbis that do that, by the way. There were rabbis that did that, but okay.
Meaning sold their kavuna?
No, they didn't sell it. They gave it up. But you're not allowed. You can't give it up. You can't give up. I give up kavuna. Okay. Vayidaber Hashem Meisha b'midbar Sinai le'emar. So Hashem spoke to Meisha in Midbar Sinai. Now starts the counting of the Levim. Kedus Levi is b'nei Levi. Count the children of Levi. Again, this goes by the father. In other words, whether you're a Levi or not, follows the father. Not only, but in the Levium, there was three families, Gershon, Kos, and Merari, that did the various different jobs. They also are based only on the father, not on the mother. Every, you know, from a month and older, as like we've learned that we'd left the Nephil. So Rashi says, from Yehuda ben Abshalom, the truth is, this tribe of Levim should really be counted from birth. Because Yocheved, Moshe's mother, made up number 70 as soon as she entered the walls of Egypt. So she was counted, Moshe's mother, who was the Bas Levi, she was counted as soon as she was born. So really, Levi should be counted from birth, like their ancestor, Yocheved. But they have to make sure they're going to be alive, and therefore, you have to wait until they're 30 days old. Vayivkedei Semesha al pi Hashem. Semesha made a count of them al pi Hashem. So Rashi says, what we discussed this, but here is where the Rashi is. So Rashi learns, Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, how in the world do you expect me to go and to see who did all the nursing babies while they're nursing from the mother? You expect me to go see how many, you know, how many kids there are? Says so Hashem said to him, you do yours, I do mine. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the door, the Shekhinah went before him, and this how many kids in the tent? There's how many tenekes in the tent? And therefore it says, Al Pi Hashem, actually God counted. Al-Pi Hashem means through the mouth of God. God actually counted the Levium. Because Hashem told him how many kids are in each house. By the way, the Gemara says...
So this is not the only place that he talked to Hashem in the tent, or is that there's also Hashem talked to him when he went on the road? And
yeah, yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu talked to Hashem in a lot of places, on the road. But yeah. Okay, the Mefarshim discuss, he brings in also at the bottom, that obviously the Levium infants didn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, Lachey, you have a question over here. Before we counted the Jews, was for a practical reason, to go to war. So they were counted from the age of 20. What is the purpose of counting the Levium from a month old? And the Torah is saying the Levium are there to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. What is the purpose of counting the Levium from a month old? What, are they going to watch the Beis HaMikdash when they're 6 weeks old? I mean, how are they going to do, what's the purpose of it? So he says, Hashem actually rewarded as if they served from a month old. Even though they didn't actually serve from, they're too young. And therefore he brings down from the Gemara that the Levium kids under Bar Mitzvah were allowed to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. They had nice voices. They had a kids' choir. Kids' choir in the Beis HaMikdash of the Levium. That even before the Bar Mitzvah, Levium were permitted to participate in one of the singing of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Counted them as they were counted. These were the three children of Levi, Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. To spend a few minutes, there's another remarkable concept over here. The Rambam says that not only Shevet Levi, the Rambam says, the Rebbe used to quote this Rambam. The Rambam says, Shevet Levi Bilvad, not only did Shevet Levi, was dedicated by Hashem. Any Jew who dedicates his life to serve Hashem is the same sanctity as the concept of a Levi. So in other words, there's the physical Levi that we're talking about here. You have a physical Levi. And then the Rambam speaks about the spiritual Levi. Spiritual Levi means, just like the Levium were dedicated, and in fact, as the Mefarshim say, just like we find by Shmuel HaNavi, it said he served God for 52 years, Ad Olam, for 50 years. It says he served God for 50 years, even though he died at 52. So what do you mean he served God? You didn't serve Hashem at 2 years old. But the fact that he dedicated his life, Hashem says your whole life was mine. Any person who dedicates their life to Hashem is spiritually the concept of Levi. Levi had three kids. Gershon, like it says here, Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. What is that in serving Hashem? Okay? Because there's another interesting thing. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu came from Kohos. Kohos were the prominent family that we're soon going to see. So why was Gershon the oldest? There's Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. Kohos were special. That's where Moshe came from, Aaron came from. Okay? So why was Gershon the oldest and not Kohos, spiritually speaking? Why? The Kohos should be the oldest, because he was the greatest. Moshe came, Aaron came, you know, they were the ones that actually carried the Aaron and the Menorah and the Shulchan, and they were the ones that carried the Kelim. So why aren't they first? So it's explained in Chassidus that Gershon, Kahas, and Merari are three levels in Avedas Hashem. Gershon comes from the word Gerusha, Gerushin. Gerushin means divorce. What does that mean in a spiritual sense, divorce? It's called Sur Meira, turning away from evil. What does it mean, turning away from evil? You divorce from yourself any evil. Divorce means you have nothing to do with them, right? You give a get, so to speak. You divorce. Gershon is the first Aveda. Okay, what's the first Aveda? Gershon. Now that you want to become a Levi, you want to come to serve Hashem, dedicate your life for the Avedas Hashem, first thing you need to do, divorce yourself from Sur Meira. Kohos, the Pasuk says in Chumash, V'loi, with a Vav, Yikas Amim, to him nations will gather. Later on in Chumash, there's a Pasuk, V'loi, to him Yikas Amim, nations will gather. So Kohos means gathering. What are we gathering? Asei Teif, gathering a lot of mitzvahs. In other words, you want to serve Hashem properly? Gershon, turn away from evil. Next, Kohos, gather a lot of mitzvahs. Meaning, do a lot of mitzvahs. Asei Teif, do mitzvahs, you gather. And the third one, Merari, is the concept of being embittered. Not depressed, not sadness, but Merirus is a person feeling that there's so much more to accomplish. Not depressed that I'm no good, but upset and sad that I really could do much more. So the Chassidus explains that the three children of Levi, which applies to every single Jew, are really Gersh in this order. Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. First you need to have Sur Meira, divorce yourself from, you know, evil things. Gather things, which is Asei Teiv. And then Merari is actually the level of bitterness that a person feels that there's so much more to do, meaning they could do more and more and more.
Try best.
Better than the best. But that's why it's Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. Okay. Ve'eile Shmeiz b'nei Gershon l'mishpachaisam. These are the children of Gershon and the families. Livni v'shimi. So Gershon had two kids, Livni and Shimi. B'nei Kohos l'mishpachaisam, who were Kohos's children. Amram was Moshe Rabbeinu's father. Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. So Kohos had four kids. U'v'nei Merari l'mishpachaisam, Machli u'Mushi. Okay? So Levi basically had three sons and eight grandkids. Okay, two from Gershon, four from Kohos, and two from Merari. So Levi had eight grandkids. So he said, Eile ha-mishpuchay sa-Levi levei sa-veisam, and he just enumerates now. The Gershon mishpacha sa-Livni, mishpacha sa-Shimi, Eile ha-mishpuchay sa-Gershuni. That was the Gershon's family. How many were there in this whole thing? Could they have been misper kolzachem ben chaydish v'mayla? What is the amount of the male over a month old? Pekudeihem shiva salafim v'chamesh meirs. 7,500. That was Gershon's amount. Mishbechaisa Gershuni, achrei ha-mishkan yachanu yoma. The Gershons lived on the west. Remember we learned that there was four sides of the Mishkan. So the Bnei Gershon were on the west. Nasi b'nei Gershon, Beis Avla Gershuni, who was the head in charge of the Gershon family, El Yosef ben Lael, that was his name. Mishmeres b'nei Gershon ba'el Meid, what was their job? What was the job of the Gershon people in the Mishkan? So he says, HaMishkan ba'el, they were the actual Mishkan, the tent, Michseu its cover, Umasach and the screen, Pesach Oil Meir at the entrance of the Oil Meir, Kali Achotzer, the curtains of the courtyard, Vesmasach Pesach Achotzer and the screen in front of the courtyard, Asher al Mishkan val Mizbeach Sava, which was around the Mishkan, Ve'es Meisarov and the ropes, L'chol Avedasi. So basically, they didn't carry the boards. They carried the curtains of the Mishkan, of the Chatzid, the coverings. That's what Gershon carried when they traveled. That was, they were in charge of that part of the Mishkan.
In front of the Mishkan. They are in front of the Mishkan.
Right.
Rabbeinu,
yeah.
What is the significance of all these names? What do we need to learn all these names? There are so many names that Torah mentioned.
But this one has a lot of meaning. It's three.
Yeah, Gershon Kosmirati, but he's asking, like, why do we need to know Livni and Mishpachas Hashemi? The simple meaning of it is because they're so important, Hashem wants to mention the names.
There is no code inside name like this.
I can make up some Babamises if you want to hear. I can tell you what Livni and Shimi means. Livni, it's ridiculous, but Livni means, again, in the Aveda of Gershon, turning away from evil, Sur Meira, Livni is the concept of white. White is the concept of purity. Correct? Shimi is listening, Shmiya, Shama. Okay? There has to be a sense of purity, there has to be a sense of listening to what Hashem wants a Jew to do. I don't know, take it or leave it, you know, whatever.
Chevet is a sister of these three guys?
You know, the Rebbe once spoke, it's very interesting. It's a whole long sikh, the Rebbe spoke. You know when the Rebbe came out with the mitzvah tanks? Okay? Mitzvah tanks. So the Rebbe said, it was given the name tanks. Everything is Hashkacha Pratis. Okay? So the Rebbe said, what's the concept of a tank? How do you spell tank in Hebrew? Tes nun kuf. Right? Tes nun kuf is tank. So the Rebbe said that's an acronym for three out of the six orders of Mishnah. Taharis, Nezikin, and Kochim. Taharis is the laws of purity, Nezikin the laws of damages, and Kochim are the laws of the Beis Hamikdash. And the Rebbe spoke a whole long sikh, I don't remember all the details now. Why in the tank, when you go fight assimilation, the Rebbe called them mitzvah tanks to fight the assimilation of the world by spreading Yiddishkeit to the world. So the Rebbe said, first you need to purify yourself. And then there's the concept of the Nezikin. And then you could become holy. The whole process, the Rebbe took tank, which seemingly is a secular word. Okay? But there's a lesson of everything. Obviously, for those that learn Torah in depth properly, there's lessons you can learn from every name mentioned in the Chumash and every lesson. How to take it as a lesson. And you know what? As it says, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody and you're not coming to false halacha conclusions, everybody can make up what they want if it helps them in serving Hashem better. But Livni comes with Lavan, okay, which is, like we learned by Lavan, Kabbalah explains that Lavan down here was a big Rasha, but in up there, Lavan is Levin, Ha'elion is the highest, it's even higher than Yaakov, and higher, you know, that's a very lofty level. And Shimi is, you want to turn away from evil? You have to listen to what Hashem tells you to do. I don't know.
Yocheved is a sister for this Gershon Merari. She's their sister?
Yeah. But we're not counting the girls. Right. Yaakov basically had what we know, what's mentioned in Chumash, he had two granddaughters, Sarach Bas Asher and Yocheved Bas Levi. All the others were males, or at least that Torah talks about. Again, names that were not important, the Torah doesn't mention. Going back to the beginning of Chumash, all those generations from Adam to Noach, it mentions one. It said they gave birth to sons and daughters, but it goes one. That was the important one. Everybody else is not, I mean, if it's not important, the other night we were talking, there were thousands and thousands of Nevi'im amongst the Jewish people. It says, the Gemara says, Nevuah Shehutzrach L'Deiris, a prophecy which was relevant for all generations, was written down in the Nevi'im. Those prophecies that were totally irrelevant for all generations were not written down. There are a lot of Nevuahs that happened throughout history that we don't even know about. Because it's not relevant. If it's not relevant, it's not in Torah. And if it's in Torah, it's relevant. So is there an importance of knowing that Gershon had a son, Livni and Shimi? Yeah. What it is, who knows? I don't know. Okay, then you just start with Kohas. Kohas Mishpachas Amrari, Mishpachas Yitzari, Mishpachas. It says like this. The Mefarshim say an interesting thing. If you look at all these names, Halivni, Hashimi, right? Hadis, Hadet. What did Hashem do? Each name starts with a Hey, but his name was Livni and Shimi, right? But when the Torah says Mishpachas Halivni, Mishpachas Hashimi, okay? All these names start with a Hey, and end with a Yud, which is Yud-K. Hashem put his name, when he's counting them, Hashem puts his name on each one, the Mefarshim say, of these families. Because Gershon's kids were Livni and Shimi. Huh?
But Farsi, so many last names also ends with E at the end.
Yeah, but this is a He at the beginning and a Yud at the end. No, so it's actually Yud-K. Yeah, no, but in Chumash you have a lot of times, the Mefarshim say this over here in other places, that they actually, Hashem put his name by each one. Except, one second. Kohasi. Okay, that's it. Okay.